One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora. A novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal, the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
Do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You are listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Stephanie Toops, Aviana, Navi, and Lexi. I've got the whole crew here. Well, Marie is in Atlanta, so she's not here, but she typically isn't. But I'm so excited because it's Thanksgiving week, and I love the holidays. I do. And so it's always good to have you here. Have you been crazy preparing, Stephanie, for your three little ones?
Yes. And I'm hosting this year for the first time. So my sister-in-law taught me how to brine a turkey yesterday.
Okay.
So I brined a turkey, which was the first time I've ever done that.
Uh-huh.
And that was super kind of cool and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I've been getting geared up. How about you? Are you cooking for Thanksgiving? I'm wondering what you cook. Do you eat turkey?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so.
Anyway, yeah, I'm making stuffed shells in the evening,
and I'm not sure
because I had a bunch of family that were supposed to come, but my nephew and his four little sons, he's got four little sons under seven and under, and I was really looking forward to them. I got a Pac-Man game for them,
awesome.
At Nordstrom Pop-Up. Mm-hmm. It's really pretty cool. It's an arcade game, and I got that for them, but they're not coming.
Aww.
But I think they're going to come in a couple of weeks. They caught a little virus, and there's four of them, and, he's a single dad. He's got his hands full.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So, I feel like with kids, it's just so hard. I feel like that's how I am, too.
Oh, yeah.
I never know. I'll pop up and, a kid's sick today.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That's our whole plans have changed.
Well,
so.
Nia's sick right now. She's got a really bad swollen gland. And, it's pretty big. I was thinking mumps. Now, she did have an MMR shot when she was like 4.5 or 5, but... let's not even get into that. But I read in Dr. Robert Mendelsohn's book, How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor, that mumps is, well, I'll actually read it here in a minute. I'll pull it up. It's, let me see. It says.
I feel like we heard a story of a friend of ours or someone who took their kid to the doctor and they like quarantined the kid because they thought it was measles or mumps.
But it wasn't.
It was just like a weird case of strep. And they like completely like
made a big deal.
Shame them.
Oh,
yep.
Geez.
Well, here's what it says in this book. Now, this book is 25 years old. It says mumps is a relatively innocuous viral disease usually experienced at childhood, which causes swelling of one or both of the salivary glands located just below the front of the which causes swelling in one or both of the salivary glands located just below and in front of the ears. Typical symptoms are a temperature of 100 to 104, appetite loss, headache, and back pain. The gland swelling usually begins to diminish after 2 or 3 days and is gone by the 6th or 7th day. However, one gland may become affected first and the second one as much as 10 to 12 days later. The infection of either side confers lifetime immunity. So that part is good. It says mumps does not require medical treatment. And so after I read that, I'm like, even if it was, because, as a mom, your kid's got, she's got a really swollen gland. I'm concerned. And so we did a lot of course, natural medicine. And she's home resting right now because she's off school this week with a heating pad on her neck. And she's feeling better. I didn't give her anything to reduce the fever or the pain so that if her fever did if it spiked, I would be able to, I would know how high her fever got to. Mm-hmm. It's always a good thing to know how high the fever is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So,
and the fever's there for a reason.
Right.
Your body's fighting the infection.
Right.
So
when you reduce the fever, mm-hmm. you basically stop the immune system from doing what it's in place to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Even my kiddos, unless they're really impacted by it. Like if they're in a lot of pain or something like that, sometimes I'll give them a fever reducer. But for the most part, if they can tolerate it, I'll let him
sweat it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a really good book. And it's like I said, he's passed away. One of America's leading pediatricians puts parents back in control of their children's health. We had a television and a radio show for many years. Highly respected. This book has been around forever. I always give it to someone who has a baby as their baby Bible. Just a guideline. It talks about strep throat and all kinds of things. Interesting. But okay. So when I went to Nordstrom to get the Pac-Man, I went to the pop-up shop. It's Snoopy this year. Okay. Oh, and Charlie Brown.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, like I was dying. There were so many cute products, but I bought the Pac-Man thing and then I bought that you're looking at there, the prepper kit. Let's talk about this. Yeah. What a great Christmas gift, right?
I walked in and my eyes just got really big and excited because
you're the prepper.
Yeah.
This girl.
This is so right up my alley.
Yeah, Stephanie Toops is a master prepper.
Extreme almost.
That's right. Extreme prepper.
Okay, so for people that don't know what a prepper is, if they've never heard of it, tell them what a prepper is.
Yeah, so it's really just kind of being someone who is concerned with being prepared. They also call it like preparedness. And so it's being prepared in the event that you would have like a power outage or, you know, any kind of event where you couldn't get to your phone, you didn't have electricity, whatever it may be. And we've had some of that here recently.
We have.
With tornadoes and just storms and hurricanes and just lots of different things like that. So I really work on my preparedness, but this is such a cute little kit.
Isn't
you
it
bought.
Cute?
Yeah.
It was $100.
Okay.
3-day emergency preparedness kit by Preppy. Preppy?
Yeah,
by Preppy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not getting any kickback or anything from this. I just thought it was a very great gift. And so let's go through it real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. This would be an awesome gift for somebody. And something, you know, you have those people that like you have no idea what to get them, right? They have everything. And
oh,
we
yeah.
all have everything.
Yeah.
So this is a super cool kit. Like we started going through it on the before. There is like a super bright light, which is awesome because you could, you know, if you got stopped on the side, this would be awesome to keep in your car. Like keep a set in your car.
I bought one for my daughter.
Yeah.
My oldest
one
daughter.
In your car, mm-hmm. one at home. But you know, I mean, if you get stuck at night and you're, you know, you could have a light so people could see you. There's a set of batteries in here, which is awesome. A poncho, which is great. I'm from up north and that used to be one of the biggest risks. Like if you ran out of gas or you had car trouble, it's like 20 degrees, you
or
know,
lower.
So yes. Yeah. So, it's really important. So there was, we found this in there. I don't know if you want to.
A whistle. No, yep. Here, give me the,
I just said a whistle.
I said, I blew it and then it,
yeah.
And it goes louder than that. But we were joking. I said, I feel like Captain Von Trapp. I'm not going to blow it real loud.
You're taking
anyway.
Care of business. what's awesome about this, a lot of this stuff is watertight, which is great. There's some waterproof matches, some watertight medical kit.
What is that?
This one right here, that's the watertight medical kit.
Ooh.
So this must be waterproof gauze, that kind of stuff. Because again, when you get wet, like that's part of the issue. They say in the military, like the one thing that they stress the soldiers is to take care of their feet. If their feet get wet or blistered or they start to have trouble, like you really have problems. And
yeah.
So making sure that things stay dry is super, super important when you're looking at stuff like that. A multi-purpose 50-gallon bag would be great for trash, sanitary disposal. That's, you know, something you want to keep clean.
Body, in case you have to kill someone.
Yep, right.
A body.
There's always that problem. Here's a knife in case you need that. Yeah. A mask if we're, what was that? What was it that was going around a couple years? Ebola.
No, Ebola.
Remember that?
Oh,
I don't know if I've ever told y'all. That's what really kicked off my.
Oh, God.
Crazy.
I had a drift
really?
At the time.
Yeah.
I had a drift. We had no customers for like 3 months.
Oh,
I swear.
Because nobody would go.
Well, and because it was in Dallas, too. There was a case.
Yeah, yeah, but here's a funny thing. That was one of the safest places you could have been. The most sanitary, safest place you could have been is in a float tank.
Yeah.
Especially the way I operated them. Because everything is so sanitary. Nothing can live in that salt water.
I just think it was a really interesting illustration of how people
lose their minds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally lose their minds.
Because they don't know. It's the unexpected or the unexplained,
yep.
and they don't know how to handle it. And it was really interesting to see that unfold.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, there's tens of thousands of viruses all over the world. Mm-hmm. We need to take care of our health, and then we won't have to worry so much about all those viruses that are out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what else is in here that's cool?
Emergency water. That's super important, too. I have
There's emergency water?
Yeah, so these are little pouches of drinking water.
Really?
Water is just so important. That's one of the things that if you ever do, like if you were stuck in your car or something like that, this would be just an this would be awesome to just take out and put in your glove box.
I know what you're buying people for Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, that's really how we built a lot of our prepper stuff, is we asked for prepper gifts for Christmas for a lot of years to build it up, because it's expensive to kind of get. But this would be super awesome just to keep in your car. You know, I always worry about having my kids in the car and them not having, you know, to drink. Yeah. Or
is that a deck
of
cards and a pencil?
Yeah, because you have to keep your mind right. You have to have some levity. And so, it's a deck of cards.
Yeah.
In case you're bored.
So you don't, lose your mind if you're depending upon the circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't forget the whiskey.
Is there any whiskey and the coffee?
And the cigarettes.
Well, I always keep whiskey, coffee, and cigarettes, because I feel like if there is a need to barter, those are going to be things that people really want.
Wow. Yeah, so. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, it never hurts to have whiskey in the car anyway, because if you do get hurt... I'm just saying, put it in the trunk.
Yeah.
If you get hurt and you've got it back in the cowboy days, like the John Wayne or whoever, let's name a famous cowboy, you know, when you had to like cut your arm off or something.
Oh my goodness.
Have a shot of whiskey and here's a stick for you to bite. Bite on this stick. And then it looks like a ration. So these are, this
food?
Looks like, maybe a high fat. Yeah, like a high fat, just kind of emergency ration. So you would use this.
Let me see if
what's in it.
Yeah, I didn't look too close. It's probably not that great. It is probably
But it's something.
It's something. Yeah.
Well, there's 12 servings per container, 12 portions, 200 calories a piece. Does eat one bar every 6 hours per person. Eat in small pieces, and it's in French too. I don't know.
I don't know
what's in it. Well, maybe it's on here. I don't know. There's so many things that we don't know what's in it. Okay, so I'm going to ask you this. Yeah. So I was at Natural Grocery yesterday getting ready for the holidays, getting snacky foods and drinks for the kids and all that. And I get my dogs bully sticks all the time because it keeps them busy and they absolutely love them. So I'm in line and the woman says to me, "You know what that is, right?" And I said, "Yeah, it's a bully stick." She goes, "No, do you know what it is?" And I said, "What?" She said, "It's a bull penis." And I was like, "What?" It is what's the nickname for it? Pizzle?
Pizzle.
We'll say pizzle instead of you know what.
Yeah.
It's the pizzle of a bowl.
Does it say it on there?
No. That's why I was like, they don't advertise that.
How did you
go
find it? Did you go look it up?
Yeah. Oh, no, no.
No,
and
I
here's
guess
a,
the lady
Here's
told
the crazy
her.
Thing. So I was.
So I want to know how you feel about this.
But look how some of them are bigger than other ones.
Some are thinner.
Some are thinner. Some are longer. Some are really thick.
Thicker.
I love how that's what you're fixated on. That is fantastic.
I've got a handful of bull penises.
Pizzles. Yeah.
Pizzles.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But you know, they're really good for the dogs because I really highly recommend that you get these instead of rawhide, because rawhide is really bad for your pet. It is. And so listen to all the benefits. It says giving your dog a bully stick has many benefits. Bully sticks help maintain clean teeth and healthy gums, a healthy coat, strong muscles, a nutritional diet, optimal brain function. They're also highly digestible and safe to chew compared to rawhide bones, which can become lodged in a dog's intestines when attempting to digest it. It says, are there different types of bully sticks? Yes, bully sticks come in many different shapes and forms, allowing you to pick the bully stick that's best for your dog. No, I'll do that. When I open the pack, and I never knew what they were, I'm like, I don't. And so I give the bigger dogs the bigger stick, you know, and the littler dogs the littler stick. And then it's crazy, though. And I saw some at Target that were real tiny little. And then, and then there's some really long ones, too.
Are those also bull?
I guess. They must be. I mean, they were like a foot long. I swear to God, the ones at.
So, do you think maybe those are like baby?
I was
bulls?
About to say maybe these are
baby bulls?
Yeah, like
baby
babies.
Oh, that
yeah.
makes me upset.
I don't think it's like a whole penis. I think.
Oh yeah, they could chop them. Yeah,
yeah.
They
I think that they probably condense
process
it and then make it into the shape it's made in.
Well, I don't.
What did you say to the lady, Bernadette?
We just started laughing, and I had two. I have to buy. They're expensive too. They're like $22 a pack. But you know, when Charlie gets so anxious at night, I'll typically, if I can't calm him down, I'll give him one of those so I can get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Because he'll chew it for about an hour, and then he's, you know, he'll go to bed. But but crazy, right? Crazy, crazy stuff.
And that's a great tip, because a lot of people, as they're buying Christmas gifts for dogs, they're buying stuff at
discount stores,
and they are
those
bleached
huge
and
raw
it's really they get stuck in their throat. So this is really relevant, because I think people do that.
I agree.
Time. Yeah,
and yeah. So who would have known, right?
Mm. Bull pizzle all the way.
Bull pizzle.
Pizzle pizzle.
Team bull pizzle.
Pizzle pizzle. All right, we're going to break. We've got Kathy Gilbert coming up, Chasing Joy, and Stephanie Toops. Additives continued of the Dirty Dozen, the Clean 15, and Dr. Carnation, winners, carcinogens in clothing and cosmetics. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Stephanie Toops in studio and Aviana, Navi, Lexi. Everybody's here today. And I have Dr. Nasha Winters on the line. She is a naturopathic doctor and fellow of the American Board of Naturopathic Oncology. She has been on a personal journey with cancer for the last 27 years. Her quest to save her own life has transformed into a mission to support others on a similar journey. Dr. Nasha works exclusively educating clients, doctors, and researchers worldwide on how to apply integrative oncology philosophically and therapeutically. She is the co-author of The Metabolic Approach to Cancer, and today we are talking to her. It's so good to see you. I mean, it was really good to see you. Last weekend we were together?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. I can't believe it finally happened.
Yeah, I know. Such a pleasure to meet you. And you're just wonderful. You really are. Your spirit is unbreakable. And I just love what you do, Dr. Nasha. I really do.
Thank you. Well, back at you, sister. This is good stuff. We're all bringing some awareness to the world around us.
Yeah. And this topic today, okay, so carcinogens in clothing and cosmetics, it's an article that you wrote for the Wellbeing Journal, one of my favorite publications. Can we talk about some of the carcinogens that our skin is exposed to?
Totally. And I think, you know, it's interesting. A lot of folks in our world, they're very thoughtful about their food. They might be filtering their water, but we often sort of take it for granted or forget about what we're putting on our bodies, wrapping our bodies in on a daily basis. And this can be a significant source of toxicant exposure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're making me think of actually Stephanie Toops is the one that covered it with us. She is a consumer advocate. And so it was remember the pajamas from
the flame retardants in the pajamas
we put on our kids from a guy that did he tried to expose, what company was it?
It was Justice. And
Justice.
Those particular pajamas, they had phthalates in them because they were scented. Oh. So those were scented pajamas.
Yeah.
It's a rogue.
Yeah. Yes. No. It's crazy, all these things. And we put them on our children and without even thinking, because we think that, you know, we're protected somehow, that mm-hmm. these are, you know, well-researched, but they're really not, are they?
They are not. That is exactly it. I think we have over 80,000 chemicals that we've brought on to the planet, you know, made in a lab since the 1960s, with less than 200 of them properly tested. And so, you know, when we look at the organizations like the International Agency for Research on Cancer, which is short-term IARC, I-A-R-C, it's this government agency portion of the World Health Organization that explores our cancer sort of epidemics and looks at different triggers. And so we've been able to find well-established triggers from even a World Health Organization, you know, organization to tell us that we have known carcinogens in what we're putting on our body, whether it's from our clothing to our body care products. And we can talk about those specifically to kind of go through the list if you'd like.
Well, I want to ask you this first, and then I'm going to circle back to some other questions that I have. But how does the FDA regulate health and beauty products?
That is such a good question. It really doesn't. You know? So that's the problem, is we've got a shabby, if at all, you know, sort of regulation mm-hmm. of this industry. And, you know, when you have to think about it here, our skin is like a million mouths. It is the largest organ of absorption as well as elimination. And we are putting things on our bodies mm-hmm. where we know that there are, out of 113 agents as known carcinogens per the IARC, 11
wow.
of them 11 of those are currently okayed to use in our body care product.
Wow. Well, I know you right? probably, I know this is a little off topic, but it's still very important yeah. because it's the same, it's the same thing. Like the, it's the FDA that, the documentary Blackwater that just came out talking about how Teflon covered up that chemical for 70 years and knew that it was a carcinogen and that it was killing the wildlife and causing disease. And yet it still remained on the market for many, many years until recently, right? They just now banned it.
And even then, it's still out there on our products, you know, that thrift stores and stores that haven't finished selling it off. It's still everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So who are the big chemical companies? Like the really big ones? I know Monsanto and DuPont. Which one is the one responsible? Yeah.
Dow.
Dow Chemical.
And, you know, the whole thing is better living through chemistry was sort of our, you know, our big motto coming out of World War II. And yet today worse living through chemistry is really what it's coming down to.
Well, let's talk about the cosmetics and personal care products. What are some of the carcinogens found in and in what kind of products? What are we looking at here? I remember the Johnson & Johnson with the talc. Yeah.
Yep. And a really interesting note about the Johnson & Johnson talc powder ovarian cancer connection. One of my husband and I's very good friends is the main attorney for this. He was also, you know, sort of a part of the Aaron Brockovich cases and all those pieces. So he's been in the environmental legal industry for some time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this case is finally coming to fruition where we're finally able to really say we've been suspecting this. I mean, when I had my diagnosis of ovarian cancer 28 years ago, talcum powder had been a part of my life. I was a volleyball player. All the girls, that's what we did back in the gym class, keep everything fresh down there.
Your mom used it too when you were a baby. I mean, it's been around forever.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. We all had our tushes wiped. I mean, it has been exposed to. And so here it is almost 30 years later, we're finally saying, yep, probably a problem. And in fact, out of those 11 known carcinogens we are willingly put on our body on a regular basis, that's one of them. These sort of metal, you know, these powders, these talcum-based powders.
Mm-hmm.
But these chemicals, you ask where, it's more like where is it not found? So, you know, on average, we're putting something, by the time you walk out the door in the morning to head to work or to head to school, you've already put over 18 different body care products onto your body.
Wow.
Right? And so it's going to be anywhere from your shower gel to your toothpaste to your shampoo to your makeup and to your body, like what scents or fragrances you're bathing yourself in before you even hop in your car and head to work, right? And those things include things like formaldehyde. I mean, we preserve bodies with that, for crying out loud, or did.
Yeah.
Very toxicants, things like coal tar, which had been used for years for like the dandruff and the psoriasis treatments. Benzenes are in everything. It's a good preservative. So when you look at the back of your bottle, somewhere down that long laundry list, you'll see the word benzene.
Mm-hmm.
Mineral oil, same idea. Another thing, although we've been lubing ourselves up with mineral oil, you know, for decades. And again, it's something we use on babies, like baby oil we put on babies on top of the talcum powder. We start them young.
Right.
And when you're looking at these pollutants, the cumulative effect is what's key. And when we always talk about in nature, sort of the solution to pollution is dilution. Well, you're not diluting much in those tiny compact bodies. And we're starting them young by putting these massive amounts of chemicals onto and into their systems from the get-go.
Yeah.
And then things like the heavy metals and stuff to create those mineral, beautiful, even those quote-unquote mineral veil body care products for cosmetics are loaded with heavy metals, cadmium, silica, chromium. We even have silicosis as a condition that can basically fry up your lungs and have them not be able to do their job anymore. I mean, these are what are well documented as carcinogens and are even readily available in what we would consider is a good quality body care product. And there's a way to sort of vet which ones might be safer than the others.
Well, you know, you're going to have to come back to talk about this because this is a really big subject. And there's so many people out there that are vulnerable. They just don't know. And as I said at the beginning of this, you know, we count on the FDA to protect us, and there really are no regulations to protect us. Case in point, Johnson's baby powder for many, many years. You yourself experiencing ovarian cancer. It's just a miracle that you were able to overcome it. And I love stories like that. And I know that our listeners love stories like that. But before we go to break, I want to ask you this. What are your best tips for shopping body care and beauty products?
Perfect. Keep it simple is the main thing. You want to be able to read your label. You want to be able to pronounce and understand what's in the label. No difference in how we eat, right?
Yeah.
But the main organization that I trust to go to is EWG.org, which stands for Environmental Working Group.org, they've got a whole section
skin
on
Skin Deep.
The Skin Deep.
There you go. Like, yeah.
Body hit my brain. Skin Deep. And what you can do is they have a great search engine. You can literally put in the brand name of the product you're currently using and it will give it a grade. It'll give it a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being green, go, 10 being red, stop. And you really want to keep it in the green zone, if not a very, very, very moderate use of the yellow zone. But keep it in the green is what I tell all my clients.
Wow. And then, of course, look at what we're doing to the earth. You know, we're doing it to ourselves, and all that trickles down in the shower, through the washing machine, into our waterways, and we're poisoning the earth. So, and you know what? When you speak with your feet, you force companies to change their ways. So speak with your wallet. Speak with your feet, right?
Absolutely. That's perfect.
Well, I can't wait to have you back on, Naysha. Dr. Naysha Winters is who you're listening to. She's amazing. You can find her at drnasha.com. That's drnasha.com. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
You too. All the best to you and yours, and everyone. Take care out there.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And Dr. Naysha Winters, I encourage you to go to her website. She's amazing. And her story is amazing, too. So stay tuned. We've got more coming up with Kathy Gilbert and Stephanie Toops. I have not heard this song in a long time.
I love the song. My first boyfriend in sixth grade was named Jeremiah.
Oh.
And so this always brings back.
Did Diamond know that?
She must have.
She's incredibly intuitive about music.
She's very intuitive.
And she prides herself on knowing, like finding out ahead of time on what kind of music the guest likes.
Yeah.
And she always nails it, like every time.
Thank you. I knew Stephanie's ex. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, she knew Jeremiah. They went way back.
Was he a bullfrog?
Oh, he was adorable.
You were crazy in love with that boy. I remember that. I remember you. He was your first love, right?
Yeah, I mean, we were young, but you know,
young,
that first little
young love.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. What are you pointing at?
Looks like Diamond's got.
I don't think. Do we have Kathy on the line?
Yes, we have Kathy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, excellent.
Well, you know, on live radio, sometimes you just got to switch things around.
Yeah.
You roll with the punches. You roll
with
the flow.
Part.
And so it's so great to have everybody here in studio with us today. And we have Kathy Gilbert on the line. She is a writer with a master's in communication, interested in health and wholeness. An autoimmune diagnosis led her to paleo, which is helping her to heal through food and lifestyle choices. She is a mother of 5 grown children, lives in the Seattle area, and loves encouraging others to be their best at any age. Today, we're covering Kathy's article, Chasing Joy, featured in Paleo Magazine. It's such a beautiful story. I can't wait to hear Kathy share it with you. How are you doing today, Kathy? Welcome to One Life Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm doing great.
Well, you know, I read the article and I thought it was so beautiful. Can you share your story with our listeners?
Sure. Did you want me to share specifically about the joy or just how I got to?
Well, first we'll start with how you got to where you, you know, how your busy lifestyle led you to developing an autoimmune disorder. How about that?
Okay, for sure. I've always been a real go-getter, chasing life with everything I have. I'm like the type A, number 3 on the Enneagram. Just whatever life throws at me, that's what I wanted. And when I talk about my busy life, it's a little embarrassing when I look back at it because it's so insane.
No, I know. I know the feeling.
Yeah.
And people do kind of judge a little bit too, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but when you're in the middle of it, and I think many people are in that situation, you're in the middle of it and you don't realize how crazy your life is.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're just doing every day.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. Well, so how did that lead, your busy lifestyle, lead you to an autoimmune disorder? I'm so curious.
Well, I don't know that. I think maybe genetically we're predisposed, but I think our environment can cause our genetics to be expressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at one point, you know, my five children had grown. The school I was involved in, I taught four classes. I was vice principal. I was teaching aerobics classes. Our school went through a bit of a crisis and got shut down. It was just a very stressful environment. And at that time, I got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah.
And so everything changed at one time. My health changed, my family changed, my career changed, and I was left at home trying to figure out what to do with my new life.
Well, you know, according to the 2019 World Happiness Report, it says that adults and adolescents report being significantly less happy than in 2016 and 2017 than they were in the 2000s. And so what do you think has led to that dramatic increase in unhappiness or not experiencing as much happiness anymore for most people?
Well, my gut is that it has to do with, one, a busy lifestyle, and two, maybe the lack of time combined with how prevalent social media is, and just the heart-to-heart relationships and connections that we're able to maybe have formed in the days when this wasn't the case.
Yeah.
No. I know that when I was at school, I had so many rich friendships, and we didn't have the internet. We didn't have, well, at least the beginning stages of social media.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my connections were just always right around me.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a big deal.
I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't. So many children are missing out in all of that. They really are, because they're always on their phones and they don't meet as much, I don't think. And our world's just become so complex. But you know, in your article, you pose a very interesting question in the beginning of your article when I'm quoting this, when events of great sadness and pure joy occur simultaneously, do we side with the side of grief or stand with joy? Can you elaborate on that and your thoughts?
Sure. I think the older we get, the more opportunity we have to experience these type of events where the very first time I really became aware of it, my son was graduating the University of Washington, and it happened to be the day after there was the Pulse nightclub shooting where 49 people in the gay community lost their lives.
Yeah.
And the speaker at that service was Sherman Alexie, and he's a Native American who grew up here in Washington. And he said he was wrestling with his son about, how do I speak at this graduation when it's supposed to be joyful, but a whole nation is grieving?
Yeah.
And his son said to him, well, Dad, isn't that a graduation? Then you must choose joy, Dad. You must choose joy.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did that help him, I think it helped all of us there, the graduates and the people there go, okay, many things happen simultaneously in life, and we're not diminishing one when we choose the other, but right now it is okay to choose joy at this event, despite the fact that there's all this grieving around us.
Wow.
And I've had to, well, just this past year, that same son was graduating NYU Law, and
nice.
My dad died weeks before he was going to graduate. My dad was so looking forward to it. And it's so funny because I got to ask the same question.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this a graduation, Kathy? Then
yeah.
You must choose joy.
Well,
it really helped.
Yeah, it's a beautifully written. You wrote so well. You wrote it so beautifully. You know,
Thank you
mentioned that we gradually stop choosing life's transitions. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, when we're younger, you know, it's like, where are we going to go to school? What's our major going to be? What town do we want to live in? Who do we want to live with? What job do we want to pursue? You know, it seems like all the questions we're choosing the answers to. But as life goes on, it seems like things happen, you know, now it's your kids moving out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not even though you want them to move out, you're not necessarily choosing all of their decisions.
Right.
You're standing by and letting their decisions affect you and cheer them on and all those other things. But, you know, my health, the school shut down, it seemed like I didn't have control over anything. I just had to continue to choose joy in the face of it all.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, right now, a lot of people are hurting around the holidays. I just talked to someone in the hall when I was coming in. It's their first Thanksgiving after a divorce without their children. And they can't even imagine, you know, sitting at the couch and not watching the Thanksgiving, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and all these things, you know, that just are so difficult to get through. They really are. And so what's your best advice for those who may be suffering or grieving right now? How can we incorporate more joy into our lives?
Well, for me, I think the biggest thing is to acknowledge to myself that choosing joy doesn't diminish the grief.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't, I can feel guilty. Like, how can I be happy right now? Because I'm really sad this person isn't here anymore, but choosing joy doesn't mean that we're not caring as much or we're still not grieving. It's just saying I'm carving out time of this day to celebrate with others who may not be going through exactly what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always time for grief later.
Yeah, there is. You're making me think of carpe diem. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Seize the day while ye may. And it's so important to do that with everything in your life. And I just appreciate you jumping on the air with us today. And thank you for writing that beautiful article in Paleo Magazine. And I hope you'll jump on the air with us again.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate having a chance to share it to you and your listeners.
I love your sweet voice. So great to be on the air with you. Have a happy Thanksgiving, you and your family, Kathy.
Thank you. You as well.
All right. That's Kathy Gilbert. You can find her article, Chasing Joy, in the latest Paleo Magazine. They have so many incredible articles always and recipes. Check it out at paleomag.com. And we'll be right back. We've got Stephanie Toop. She's going to be talking about the Environmental Working Group's Dirty Dozen Guide to Food Additives Continued. Stay tuned, everyone. Lies ahead of me seems impossible to face. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Avi, Navi, Lexi all in studio, and Stephanie Toops. Stephanie is a consumer advocate professional, particularly focused on safety in food and personal care products. She became fascinated with the industry when she was diagnosed with a thyroid autoimmune disorder while pregnant with her second child. She has always been fascinated with education and holds both an undergraduate and master's degree in accounting and finance from Texas A&M University. She is also a CPA. Can you believe that? You must have been in school for like 20 years. And she has owned and operated numerous businesses in the Dallas area. I love this woman. You can find her on Instagram at Topsy Turvy. That's T-O-U-P-S-Y Turvy, T-U-R-V-Y. And so we're talking about the Environmental Working Group's Dirty Dozen Guide to Food Additives Continued, because we always run out of time because we talk so much because it's talk radio, right? But let's recap. Tell us what GRAS is, G-R-A-S.
Okay, so that's generally recognized as safe, which ought to make your skin crawl. I hope that it does, because anytime somebody says it's generally recognized as safe, usually means we don't know what the heck it does.
And this GRAS, okay, who developed this GRAS, or what organization?
Was it like the government?
Like, is it FDA?
Yeah,
it
falls under the FDA umbrella.
Oh, well, I'm scared already.
Yeah. Okay. So it falls under the FDA umbrella, and it's really this group of food additives that haven't been tested appropriately. It goes really well with what Dr. Nasha Winters was talking about. Mm-hmm. In terms of the FDA's approval on personal care products, there's just a host of ingredients, of chemicals that they really haven't done enough testing on. And it's super interesting because in European countries, the standard of care, I guess, is that you have to prove that something is safe before you put it in a product. And the way that it works in the U.S. is that you have to prove that it's harmful. So it's incredibly difficult to actually prove harm, because sometimes things take a really long time to
develop. How convenient.
Right, exactly. You know, you talk about people that are suffering from autoimmune disease or suffering from cancers or suffering from these things. And so much of that is driven by environmental toxins, but it's incredibly difficult to prove prove that impact. And then if you do one study where it doesn't show, then they can take that. They can take that road and they can say, well, this study said it was okay. So it's such a, it's so mucky, you know,
like it is mucky
the way.
Kind of like Washington is mucky.
Yeah.
I like the word
it's
mucky.
Mucked up.
I love that. It is mucked up. I'm going to start using that. Who said that? Lexi?
What?
I did.
Who said?
Who it was did? Me.
Oh, you said mucky? Yeah. Well, you know, I was looking at, but it's funny. It must be the thing here. Blocked your lips or something. Okay, so what about, where do you want to go with this? About natural and artificial flavoring? Is that a good place to start?
Yeah, I think natural and artificial flavoring is a great place to start because I think people, especially the term natural flavors, I think that is so
I still don't understand.
Do you know what I mean? I think it's deceitful. They say that it's natural flavoring, but really all of that stuff, and Shadwell has talked about this before too, all of that stuff is food engineering. And so they do a really good job of creating flavorings that really trick your tongue, that make people addicted to foods. And so, you know, they might put something on a product and say, you know, all these things are good. You know, the five ingredients that like Dr. Nation was talking about, and then they have natural flavoring, and that natural flavoring is just like fragrance, where you can just put this stew pot of ingredients in that one label ingredient and you have no idea what's in there.
Well, yeah, and then kids, of course, are just, I'm still a kid because I'm very what do I want to say, I'm influenced by colors. They excite me. I'm very visually stimulated by stuff, and in the right shades of like pinks and reds, I'm just like, oh.
Was it you, Steph, talking about like the Pedia or not the those electrolyte drinks? Moms will be more inclined to go for the pink one because it's strawberry flavored versus the clear strawberry.
And,
that's ridiculous.
And if you think about like ibuprofens, they put dye in that. And
red,
you're like,
dye.
Why do
Number
you
40.
Need dye and flavoring in in a painkiller?
Or the sugar coated ones. About,
we can discuss the benefit of that either way, but there's no reason for a dye. And even my thyroid medication, I got switched off a thyroid medication because they were pink. And we were talking to the doctor and she's like, well, there's red. And I didn't even process that, that there was red dye in my medication.
Well, you know, we covered this a couple of years ago because I was at one of the OU games and they were giving out Pedialyte little packets.
I wasn't going to say it.
To I'm going to say it. You know, it's out there. It's on our shelves.
Yep.
To college students because they're getting hammered at the game and then they get dehydrated. So to rehydrate them, they're giving them little packets of Pedialyte. Well, they sell the same thing to children, and it's sweetened with sucralose, which is a real cheap sweetener, which also affects your gut microbiome, and it had blue number one and red dye number 40. And I think that I actually think I have it here in my little stash tucked down because it's one of my favorite subjects to talk about. I was in Joanne Fabrics getting some, or not Joanne's, I don't know, Michael's the other day, getting some stuff to fix this tree that Charlie chewed up on me, this beautiful decoration that I have. Anyway, while I was in there at the checkout line, I saw these raspberry filled like candies. I'm like, oh, I love those. Flip them over, read the ingredients, bigger than Dallas, red dye number 40, blue number one. I'm like, and these kids, their little eyes are going past that in the checkout, you know, and they're like, mommy, can we get some of these? They look so good, you know?
Yeah.
and sure, yeah, and let's give them some more red dye number 40 and blue number one.
Conditioned to that, that is what you want. But if you were to back it up and not have that insane, you know, that it's such a powerful punch and it's such a strong visual. I mean, our food sources are beautiful as they are.
Right.
You know, if you can cut enough sugar, you can, I mean, a pear, just a ripe pear can be absolutely delicious.
Absolutely.
But if you're conditioned to want 20 marshmallows,
right,
then it's a completely different experience.
Well, your palate gets used to all that crazy sweetness. And once you do shut it down, it does start to diminish and you enjoy more natural foods. There was something I was going to share. What was it? I can't remember. It just popped out of my head.
Oh, shoot.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else do you want people to know about their kids, especially?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I think is important is to stay away from processed foods. You know, shop the outer aisles when you're in the grocery store. Look for, look for things that have fewer ingredients. Stay away from natural flavors. Make sure that you can understand every single thing on the label. It should be easy for you to understand what's in it. If it's got a five-syllable word in it, then look it up, see what it is. But if it's not simple, then it's probably not, your kids probably don't need to be eating it on a regular basis. Now,
right.
I'm
Well, here's what I remembered what I was going to say. It was about in France, okay, and most of the European Union, or all of the European Union, they do not allow food dyes like they do here in America. And not coincidentally, they have very little to none ADD or ADHD. I think it's at like 1% or something like that. And so, I mean, we really do need to pay attention to these things because they affect our health, and that is our absolute wealth.
Yeah, and a lot of the companies that create, like, let's just say, for example, a cereal, they have a different formulation for Europe and than they do from the ones in the U.S. because it's cheaper for them to continue to produce the crappy products for the U.S. and they have a higher caliber product that they sell in the EU.
And the FDA allows it. Yep. And so you need to be educated. You need to speak
with
your wallet.
Dollars.
Speak with your feet and send them a message. We don't want your junk, cheapy products in our kids' bodies or ours anymore. So take a stand, everyone.
I love it.
I love doing this show. Thank you so much for listening. You can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our letter. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, Enviromedica, No Evil Foods, Crazy Water, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, and Thorne Research. Everyone, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.